Hi, this is Rick Wood. Welcome you to Talk of the Town. And my guest today is Ted Tate, the general manager of WWER here in town. Normally, I welcome people aboard to the show, but since it's your ship, that may not be entirely appropriate.
Yeah, it's kind of fun having the tables turned on me today.
So is general manager the correct term for that, Ted, or do you go by a different title?
No, that's the title I go by, although WWER or Colonial Beach Community Radio is also a nonprofit of which I'm the president. So president and general manager, I guess.
I see. So most people have a concept of community radio that may not be exactly on point with what community radio is. It's a very specific designation, isn't it, Ted? Tell us a little about that, if you will.
Yeah, I guess people imagine when they hear a radio station that all radio stations make money by selling advertising. Community radio is a class of radio stations. They're known as non-commercial educational stations, and by definition, we cannot accept money for advertising, and there are certain things we cannot say. Now, you've heard public radio stations say things on air like portions of today's programming brought to you by a donation from the Ford Foundation or something like that. That they're allowed to do. So in return for money, we are allowed to thank our donors. But the key takeaway is you are donating to a nonprofit organization. And the purpose of community radio is to kind of fill the need that commercial stations just aren't going to fill. In particular, community radio stations tend to be smaller power. They're concentrated usually in areas that are more rural, like Colonial Beach. And we look at the way our remit here in Colonial Beach as being a local resource for people who live in and around the area that the commercial stations just aren't going to fulfill. I mean, most of the stations that we listen to or can hear on our car radios here in Colonial Beach are stations out in Fredericksburg or Richmond or DC. They're not going to address what's happening in Colonial Beach. They're not going to talk about it. But community radio can do that, and it can do that in a very hyper-local way.
The thing that I remember when I first got into radio was starting with cable access, and I heard about your foray into community radio, and I was thinking, okay, it's going to be an amalgam of people with different shows, odd shows. If you've ever listened to cable access, you get some pretty wacky programming. And I was amazed at the professionalism of the programming on WWER. I'm assuming you have a good deal to do with quality control and a concept behind your programming.
We got very lucky. When this opportunity came about, I, being in broadcasting my whole life anyway, knew other people in broadcasting and managed to recruit some of them that I already knew, as well as just have people here in Colonial Beach come out of the woodwork who said, hey, I did some radio back when, or I was involved in this, or I did that. And so I got very lucky that there were several people who volunteered before we even got on air and said, I want to help out. And one of the names I want to put forth actually is Charlie Wilson, who I worked with at the BBC. And Charlie contacted me. He saw that I put on Facebook that I was starting a community radio station. He lived in Fredericksburg at the time. And he said, I want to get involved. And I was like, okay, Charlie, what do you want to do? You know, and he held his hand up and said, I want to be the operations manager. And Charlie was a real radio head. He had owned several commercial stations in his lifetime. He had done a lot of different things. And Charlie did a lot of the groundwork of making the sound, the initial sound that you heard on the radio station, sound as professional as it did. Because Charlie had jingles, he had music, he had knowledge of how radio stations work and how to program up the automation that runs the station. And so Charlie was a big piece of that. I told him what I wanted and he kind of ran with it and did a really, really good job. And from that foundation that Charlie built, you know, we continue to work and grow.
I can tell by the quality of the programming, I can see by the equipment that you have here in your studio, that this was a passion of yours.
Absolutely.
And one wouldn't think that a gentleman who spent his entire life with a production like BBC going, I need to bring community radio to Colonial Beach. What was the impetus for that?
It fell into my lap, quite honestly. The opportunity fell into my lap. I, as an engineer at BBC, I was on several email lists, and an email came my way about a radio station license held by a school in Fredericksburg, but licensed to Colonial Beach, that they didn't want anymore. The students weren't particularly interested in what was going on. The radio, you know, the internet was more exciting than radio. And so they were looking to hand off this license, and they didn't want to just give it back to the FCC, because getting an FCC license is a very, very difficult thing. It's full of, as you can imagine, bureaucracy and paperwork and all sorts of hoops you have to jump through. And so when I heard about this, I was like, well, we have to try and get this. And it wasn't initially on my radar, but when I looked at it, I just saw it as an amazing opportunity. And I, yes, I did work in broadcasting, but broadcasting for, you know, a global broadcaster is very different than a local community radio station. It's nice to know that you can have a real impact on individuals in your community, and that you can talk about things that people in your town care about. You know, one of the most rewarding things for me since I started this is having people just come up to me and say, hey, I listen to the radio station, I love what you guys are doing, and I feel it's important, or what have you. It's just, I don't know, it's because it's so local, and because you can have that one-on-one back and forth with an actual listener, it's very rewarding.
You know, Ted, I can't tell you how many times that I've heard people walk up and say, I love the eclectic mix of music that they have. They like the local programming. Talk about the hyper-locality of it for me a little bit. Why did you decide to have that focus? And how did that take fruition?
We, the core group of people that were planning when we first went on air, before we actually got the license and all of that, we sat down and talked about some of these things. What kind of programming do we want to have? What kind of music do we want to have? You know, that was probably the first question people were asking me when I said I want to do this radio station thing. And I was like, I'm not sure yet, but we're going to try and figure it out. And I sat down, I remember distinctly a conversation with Tom Larson, our program director, and he was a big advocate of hyper-locality. He said, you know, let's concentrate on things here in town. And I agreed with him. You know, if you want to know the national news, you can get that anywhere. You can get that on radio, on television, it doesn't matter. But how are you going to find out what the weather in Colonial Beach is going to be? How are you going to find out what the town council is doing? How are you going to find out about the sewage spill that we had this summer? You might get a mention of that briefly in a newspaper or something like that. But we wanted to focus on the town and make sure that the town knew that this is their radio station. This is about Colonial Beach and the surrounding area, but our reach isn't huge, so we concentrate on where people can hear us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Wood. You're listening to Talk of the Town, and our guest today is Mr. Ted Tate, guest/host, since I'm in his basement studio. Ted, the reach, when you mention the breadth of the reach, it's what, 3 miles, 4 miles?
No, it's a bit further than that, 10 or 15 miles. And actually, on a good day, when you cross the 301 bridge into Maryland, you can listen to the radio station quite far in Maryland. It carries in that direction quite a physical distance. And it depends on the topology of the land and all of that sort of thing, and sometimes even on the weather a little bit. But I'd say 10 to 15 miles is a good benchmark of how far we go for a listenable signal.
Have you gotten any feedback from people outside of the Colonial Beach proper area.
Yes, yes. I've had responses from people in King George. I've even had a caller call me from Belle Alton in Maryland, which is what I was talking about. It actually gets up that far for the radio signal. Now, in addition, of course, we stream. We've had listeners contact us from Michigan. We've had listeners contact us from Australia. That was a very interesting one. And people in Europe as well. And some of my old BBC colleagues listen in London.
All endeavors take a certain amount of money. And I assume you're not independently wealthy.
No.
You do this as a nonprofit, and you do it for the love of it, but you still have to pay the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us something about your growth struggles a little bit and how you're looking to overcome them.
I have to say first that the town was very welcoming with regard to the radio station. And from day one, we had supporters, both in terms of moral support as well as financial support. We get our funding in two basic ways, primarily. Number one is individual listeners just donating, saying, I like what you guys are doing and I want to contribute. And that sometimes that's a check once a year around, you know, Christmas time or something like that. Sometimes it's a monthly donation. And through our website, you can sign up, put your credit card number in, and have it automatically deduct $5, $10, $20 a month, depending upon your budget. So that's one way we get a fair share of our money. And the other is what I mentioned before. It's technically called underwriting. You might think of it as sponsors, where a local business wants to support the radio station. And in exchange for that, we do mention them on the air and we thank them on the air for their donation. Those are the two primary ways that we've gotten money. And it's been enough to pay the ongoing costs of paying for the electric and paying for one of our biggest expenses, you might not think of it, is tower rent. So to broadcast, we have a transmitter and an antenna on a local cell tower, and that tower company charges us nearly $500 a month to do that. It's more than some people's rent for their apartments.
Right, right. The other part of it, too, is there's, I'm assuming, equipment upkeep that you have to do. And didn't you recently relocate your studios?
So at the moment, what happened was when the Duke Dotson renovations started taking place down on Hawthorne Street, we had to relocate. So we temporarily relocated the studio into my home, which is where we're sitting now doing this interview. And since then, we've been looking for a new place to live for the radio station. We finally managed to find what I think is the right place and a very, very good deal. The folks at Hawthorne Mercantile have worked out a very nice lease deal with us that is not really going to cost us money. But it's a space that needs a lot of work. It's an old storage unit behind Hawthorne Mercantile, not suitable for habitation as it was. And so we are in the process of refurbishing it. In fact, I just came from a visit of the site. The new roof is on. They've been installing electrical. Dominion Power has been out and actually hooked up the electrical. They're putting up drywall. It's turning into something. And it's very exciting to see that construction turn into something real. The folks at Hawthorne Mercantile have been wonderful with us and have actually agreed to pay for half of the construction costs of doing all these renovations. We are responsible for the other half.
Now, Ted, we addressed the day-to-day operating costs, but all the new studio equipment is going to have a cost as well. Is there a plan to fund that?
We're working on it, yeah. As I mentioned, Hawthorne Mercantile are paying for half the construction costs. We've got to pay for the other half ourselves, so we've got to raise the money for that, as well as some new equipment. The equipment that was donated to us some 5 years ago was already 5 or 8 years old when we got it. So we're going to have to spend some money to make this studio what it needs to be. So, yeah, we're doing a specific fundraiser for paying for the studio, and that's on our website. And some of the events that we're holding this summer, in particularly the Sip and Stroll on June the 14th, we're going to have our hands out and ask people to help donate to defray those costs. We're on our way to making the money that we need to pay for it, but we're not there yet. And so we really need people to step up just a little bit more to pay for this one-time cost.
Well, it's important, though, that people all the time donate money and don't see where it goes. You can actually hear where your money goes on a daily basis with you guys.
Yeah, and with this new studio, they'll be able to see it, which is kind of exciting for me, that people will actually be able to look at it, touch it, point at it, and go, that's our radio station.
So thanks for breaking the proscenium arch and letting people know that we're broadcasting out of your basement. It truly is community radio.
Well, folks. And you know, it's one of the reasons this studio project is so important to me, because it's a little embarrassing to bring guests like the mayor into my basement to do an interview with her. It doesn't make us look terribly professional, and yet we do broadcasts that I do feel are of high quality and should look and sound of a high quality. And frankly, there are things that I want to do that I can't do in the current facilities that we have. They're just not adequate to doing, say, a 3 or 4 person interview, for example, for a talk show. I can't do that right now. The new studio will allow us to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Talk of the Town. Our guest today is Mr. Ted Tate, the general manager of WWER Radio. Ted, on the community focus, once again, it would seem to be important to have people continue this job that we love, that we create future broadcasters, give them inspiration and experience. Is there any program by which you are looking to have younger people come learn the business and actually learn to be broadcasters themselves?
Not as yet. But again, I think the new studio will allow us to do things like that. Once we have a studio in a place where we can bring people in, whether it be volunteers or people being interviewed or what have you, you know, I've had plenty of people come to me and say, oh, I want to do a show. And I've had to say, well, do you have a studio at home that you can produce this show in? And of course, in many cases, the answer is no. Mm. Once we have a studio in a public place that we can grant people access to do this sort of thing, we can train them up, show them how to do radio, show them how to do an interview, show them how to do editing, maybe even show them how to do a live music show if that's what they want to do. One of my goals for the new studio is to do more live broadcasting. We do very little live broadcasting at the moment. Our automation thankfully allows us to do that, and COVID kind of required it. But now we're coming through all of that, and I think with the new studio we'll be able to do things like that. And eventually, whether you're young or old, I want to have a situation where we train people up on how radio works and how to do it. So the shorter answer to your question is, yeah, we would like to involve students and young people in this, but young or old alike, it doesn't matter to me.
Will there ever be the capability to live broadcast some of the Drifters games? Football, basketball, baseball?
Technically, we have the capability of doing that. I need the volunteers to make it happen. You know, to do a sports live broadcast, for example, that would require at least 3 or 4 people to actually make it happen, if you think about it. You need probably a play-by-play announcer and a color announcer on site, and possibly an engineer on site to operate the equipment and set it up, or at least one of those two people that I just mentioned that have the capability of doing that. And then you need somebody at the studio site so that they can receive that signal and put it on the air and deal with any problems if something happens during the broadcast. Live broadcasting, as exciting as it is, things happen. And you can't count on an automation system to deal with something breaking down or a loss of connection or something like that. You've got to have people on site to deal with all of that. So I would love to do that sort of thing. I need the volunteers who are trained up to do it.
Drifters fans, listen up. Here is an opportunity to help bring the local sports that you support and that you love to the rest of the folks of Colonial Beach. So how would someone get in touch with you, Ted, to not only volunteer for this, but to volunteer for the station, give you a couple of bucks, What's the process there?
I mean, all the information is on our website, and there are forms you can fill out on our website if you want to just make general contact or read up about what areas we're looking for volunteers, what things we need help with the most. Or honestly, you can just drop me an email. My email is very simple. It's ted@wwer.org. So it's ted@wwer.org.
What are your plans ultimately for the station? Obviously, you're getting new studio space together and so forth and so on. But tell me, this is going to sound like an interview question, but where are you going to be in 5 years?
I hope that we are doing more live broadcasting. I hope that we have a lot more volunteers who are, as you say, learning how radio works and how to do it, and maybe getting involved with the schools and teaching young people, maybe some sort of an after-school program or something. If we could get that off the ground, that would be wonderful. And doing just more of what we're doing now and being more involved in the community in ways like going to events, maybe covering live events. Having our studio downtown will help with that. So it might allow us to, you know, go outside and, you know, comment from one of the parades going by or something like that. Any number of things, and just be more present at community events and more visible.
That is something that did come to mind, is that some of the community events that we have, and you have some volunteers, not just yourself, obviously you're a finite resource, but
tell me about it.
But you also have volunteers who could come to those particular events and kind of talk up the station, let people know what it is, maybe a few tchotchkes here and there. So I would encourage our local 501c3s, when we're doing the Sip and Strolls, when we're doing the Osprey Festival, all of those things, to reach out to Ted and make sure that there's a radio station presence there. If not broadcasting, at least letting people know that, you know, we have a flagship station and we exist. Because that's a big part of it too, isn't it, Ted? That there's community pride with having your own station.
Yeah, and I do want to, as you mentioned, I want to reach out to other nonprofits and everything to make sure that they know that we are a resource for them as well. We welcome any organization that's having an event, whether it be a Sip and Stroll or something else, to send us that information about that event so that we can mention it on the air. We do that. If you are a nonprofit and you have an event going on that you want to publicize, send us the information and we will happily mention it on air at no cost. It's just our way of being part of the community. And we ask that you just do that at least 2 weeks in advance of the event. I mentioned that we want to get more involved in the community. We're actually, this summer, I think, is going to be kind of our year with the new studio and everything. We're planning several exciting events for the radio station to be involved in ongoing events or to have our own events. The studio, we hope, is going to be finished sometime in March. And we will be having a ribbon-cutting ceremony along with the Chamber of Commerce on Friday, March 29th at noon at our new studios, which are, again, going to be behind Hawthorne Mercantile. And then this summer, June the 1st, will mark 5 years on air for us. It's been 5 years since we started this whole thing. And we will probably have some kind of an open house where people can come visit the studio on June the 1st. And then the Sip and Stroll, being held on June the 14th from 6 to 9 p.m., we have raised our hand to say we want to be the official sponsor of that. And so we're looking for volunteers to help man the Sip and Stroll on June the 14th. And we're planning to have an open house at the studio, to have food and drink at the studio, and some prizes and maybe a silent auction and all kinds of stuff where people can come and see the studio and do the Sip and Stroll and just hang out and see what we're up to.
This is such a welcoming community. One of the things that happens with Colonial Beach is people show up for a weekend and end up buying a house. To some people's happiness, to some people's chagrin. But have you felt as if you've been welcomed into the community and are now simply a part of it?
Yes. Absolutely. As I said, when we first broached the idea of having a community radio station, people got on board pretty quickly and said they thought it was a great idea. And very soon after we went on air, I had people commenting to me to say, hey, I listened to it. You guys are doing a great job. As you mentioned, some of them were surprised at how professional we sounded. They were expecting, yes, eclectic, but also less polished than I think we are, and I look at all of that and, you know, with a bit of pride. I'm very happy that people love it. I get comments all the time from people saying that they love it, and that makes it all worthwhile.
Well, I'm going to have a very difficult assignment here. I'm going to ask Radio Man to be concise, but we've got about 1 minute left. Ted, what is the one most important thing you want the folks within our 3 square miles and then a little further out on a good day, what do you want folks to know about WWER?
Wow, that is hard because there's so many things. But I want them to know that we are here for the community, and we are part of the community, and we hope that they will partner with us to make it a success.
Ted, it's been great. Thank you so much for being so kind with your time.
Thank you.